21. That's where I'm going to be. Give something real simple tonight. So I am pretty simple. Numbers chapter 21. I want to talk to you tonight about lifting up Christ. Just lifting up Christ. And we got a good example here in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 21. We'll start here at verse 1. All right. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them in their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God, against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for he has spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. We'll stop right there and go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, I just want to thank you for your great mercies tonight. We do thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I sure thank you for this book. And Lord, we pray that you might take the words of this book here and speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you to give us understanding. And Lord, I pray that you just be here close, Lord, to every heart and the needs. We do pray for Pastor Hoffman and Lord, the youth there and folks that have gone down to Florida. Pray that you'd watch over them, keep them safe. Lord, may they have a blessing there at the blast, Lord, and just pray that you'd be with them also, and we'll thank you and give you the praise and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, now, as you notice there at the beginning of the chapter there, he starts by giving the history. All right, and he's getting some history there for their journeyings, all right, with the children of Israel coming out through there. And you know, of course, folks, all Scripture is historically true and accurate. What's recorded in this book here is it's a history book, and you know it has a lot of things in there giving you the history and the account there in the Old Testament, and it's true history. Now, that's, I think, a lot of the world doesn't like that, right? They don't like, because the book has got accurate history in it. It's recorded for something more, though, right? We got something more in there to give us. It gives us a picture of Christ and salvation. Christ and salvation. Boy, it's a great thing when you can look back through here and see how God just weaves in through the Old Testament and the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation right in there. Now, we're going to take a look at some things in the book of John. So you can keep your place there. Just come on. We're going to go New Testament, look at John chapter 3, and you're going to see this picture of Christ right from back there, what he draws from over here in the book of John. Amen. John chapter 3. And we'll look at a few two places here in John. Start here at verse 13, John 3:13. That's a good place, right? 13. Get that. John 3:13. Notice he says, And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's what we just read there in Numbers chapter 21, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right, so now this John chapter 3, you know, you got at the beginning of the chapter there, you got Nicodemus. And he's coming, you know, talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings up the great question, you know, how can a man be born twice? Right? That's a good question. And the Lord's talking about being born again. He just couldn't get the thing. How can a man be born twice? And Jesus tells him, well, you know, Nicodemus, you just got to be saved. You got to be born again. You must be born again. And Then the Lord describes the crucifixion here in these verses, 13, 14, 15, 16. Now, take a look over here at John chapter 8. I'm going to see some more here. John chapter 8. Look about verse 20. John 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. And as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? Look down here, verse 24. We'll just kind of get some verses here. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Look down here, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. All right. So he said there, as Moses was lifted up. So tonight I just want to give you some things about, lifting up Christ. And that's what these scriptures are about, is lifting him up. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so must I be lifted up. And you say, well, why is that? Well, folks, you know what? Because if Christ wasn't lifted up, you're going to die in your sins. Right? He made it pretty clear you're going to die in your sins. Jesus, thank the Lord, you know what? He provides for us what we need. And you say, well, what do I need? Well, you need your sins taken care of. Now, you have your sins taken care of tonight? Man, I thank God it's a blessing to know my sins are taken care of. They're under the blood. Christ was lifted up to die in your sins. You know what that is? That's to go to hell. When you die, if you die in your sins, you're going to hell. So Christ, thank God, if you die in Christ, you get to go to heaven. Amen. That's great there. Amen. Verse 28, he said, "When I am lifted up, you will know who I am." Right. That's basically what he's saying there. I look at John chapter 12. Let's look at another place here. John 12, and look at verse 30. John chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So you got this question going on here, and the Lord's bringing this thing up about being lifted up. And he's talking about, the crucifixion. All right, when he's lifted up, when he gets crucified, and he said, well, when I am crucified, and he's hanging on that cross, hanging on the tree, you're going to know that I am he. Right? And if you remember, some things about the crucifixion there, the lights went out. Right, the Lord put that sun out, man. It was dark when Jesus Christ was on that cross. The lights went out. The ground shook. Had that earthquake. You got the soldier there saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There's a Roman soldier, and boy, this man was the Son of God. This is he. It's he. So in Numbers, all right. So you get all the way back there in Numbers about Christ. Bear that thing there, just in Numbers 21, it's about Jesus Christ being crucified, bearing our sins, and it points to Christ when he was lifted up. Now get back over here in Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And again, just kind of getting through here. When he started out in the chapter there, of course, what you find, you got that king there, and he's taking some of the Israelites prisoners, all right? And that's a real good lesson. You say, what's that? Don't mess with Israel. All right? Don't be messing with the Israel there. They came back, man, and they utterly destroyed him, it says right there. Then you go down there in verse 4, then Israel goes down to Edom. He goes down to Edom. You say, what happened? They get discouraged, right? You ever been discouraged? And you go down, you get discouraged right there. And then what pops up? Sin. Right? Sin pops up there. It starts to creep into the camp. You say, what are they doing? Complaining. Right? They get complaining. They get discouraged. And they say, why? Because of the way. Because the way it says there, right? And I tell you, you know what, the number one, I think this is the real problem with us is just plainly that we don't like God's way. I know amens on that, huh? You guys, you've been pretty good, man. I guess I'm the flesh part, all right? This flesh, my flesh, doesn't particularly appreciate God's way. I don't know about you folks, but I mean, that's your flesh, I think that's the same thing. Then they complain, right? You know, say, what's that? Not satisfied with the way. All right? And that way right there is the way, you know what? The way that God has for us, many times, I got to say this, is not the easy way. You find that out? The way that God's got, it's just not the easy way. Lord, why can't you just make it all easy? The Lord, he doesn't make, it'll test you out, folks. Man, what the Lord has, you know, boy, at times it'll put a real test on you. And the real reason, I think this old flesh, you're talking this stuff right here, the world and the devil does not like Jesus or his word, as we're seeing this thing, is they just do not like his way. Man, they don't want God's way. They don't want God. They don't want his book. You say, what's his way? His way is righteousness. All right? Psalm 23, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Right, that's the way of God right there. That's why they not want God, and they don't want his word. Right? You see that thing right there. They just didn't want to go God's way. Now that's my flesh, and folks, that's your flesh. That is just flesh right there. When you got saved, the flesh didn't get saved. Right? And, amen. Thank God inside. Amen. The Lord made a work in there. And many times, I got to tell you, I'm sure, I don't even have to know you real well, but you know what? You love your sin more than you love the Savior. Yeah, you sure do. Minnesota, sorry to say something like that, but sin, when you're talking about this sin, sin will take a man to hell. You're talking about the sin of unbelief. You're not willing to turn and forsake your way and go God's way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They got discouraged because of the way there, right? Some look at, you know what? Yeah, have you had some of them that talk to you, know, if you try witnessing to them, tell them about, you know, getting saved and the Lord and stuff like that. A lot of people look at that thing, you know, well, that's just, that way is just too hard. I mean, they look at it like, living a Christian life is too hard for me. And they say, you know, if I get saved, I'm going to have to quit this and I'm going to have to quit that. And I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up my country music. You know, if I get saved, well, you know, honestly, you really don't have to. Right? You don't have to give up your country music to get saved. Some of you probably still listen to country music, huh? Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. You shouldn't. That stuff's no good, man. I'll tell you. I'm not going to sing any songs for you, right? I'm way out of tune in that. So we'll just leave it at that. But they say, you know, there's no fun in that way. That Christianity, there's no fun there. Can I tell you something, man? I found more fun living the Christian life and trying to please my Savior than what I used to live before I was saved. I really have, man. It's a blessing to serve the Lord, amen. Even though some of the way is hard, right? I didn't say it's all, you know, all like that. You know, so they not like his way. They don't like his word. You see that verse 5 there, chapter 21, verse 5. Some of the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore he brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness. There is no bread. Now that's, and no water. Now that's significant right there. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Do you know how God fed them? You remember that? He gave manna, right? You know what the manna is? It's a type of the word. They loathed it. You know, people today, they don't care for God's word. They loathe the word right there. That type right there. You know, it's like, do we have to eat this stuff again? Right? I mean, I worked in a children's home for many years down in Mississippi, and they weren't the richest children's home. They didn't have a whole lot of money and stuff, and so the food sometimes is just what they had. All right? And if you were lucky enough and blessed enough to be there on a Friday, what they had is what they called compost soup. So you kids in here better make sure you thank God for what you get to eat. Compost soup was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday leftovers put into a pot and made soup. Oh man, that's enough to make you complain, man. Do we have to eat this again? Right? That's what there's. We're tired. They're complaining about it. All God does is, the stuff is, all that God does is he gets on me. You know, I come to church, the preacher, he doesn't like anything. He's against everything, right? He preaches against, man, he just gets in there and he preaches against, he's almost like that Antipas fellow over there in Book of Revelation, that's his name, is against everything. And, well, you know what, Christian, you ought to thank God. Just thank the Lord that he does get on you. God could leave you alone. Man, I'll tell you, that's bad right there. And then you'd be in real trouble right then. So those trials, those rebukes from God, my flesh doesn't like, thank God for. Right? Just you have to sit back sometimes and take you a minute there to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for it. Amen. I appreciate you dealing with me. These folks here, man, they didn't like the word. They didn't want the word. Now, sin gets in then, right? You find the sin gets in there, the word, when you're not right with God, you don't appreciate the word sometimes, right? And a lot of folks that too, well, they're over here, give us less of that bread, give us less of that word. Some folks, they want a newer version. Give us a different version. A different version of the Bible sure makes it easier, see? It ain't going to hit you as hard, see? That's how some of that stuff is going on today. The King James Bible just tells it straight. It tells you just like it is. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, seven are abomination unto him. All right? And I know it's, the book's not, it's not really that hard, is it? Thank God for the blessings, the comforts. That God takes in that book right there that he'll give you and comfort your soul and just be right close to you through that thing. But it sure will lay it straight on you, won't it sometimes? Just right where you live. Can I tell you why, some folks don't come to church? On Wednesday nights, you folks are here. Some folks just tell you they don't come to church because, you get out there in the world, right? You're out there working your job and you're doing whatever. And all week long you pamper yourself, right? You tight. And when you come to church, You don't get pampered. Do you? I don't think Brother Hoffman, does he pamper you all? I'm sure he's a blessing, man. You love the word, you're going to get it, right? I don't think he's going to pamper you all. And then you come to church and you get a sermon that might, God just puts his finger right on your heart, maybe a hard sermon to listen to, and folks just don't like it. Now, I'm not going to listen to that preaching. That's some folks, man. Well, help yourself, man. You just help yourself, but you're not going to like the results. And we're going to read here in Numbers chapter 21. That's it right there. This is the eighth time, I think, about here that they're complaining and they get mad at Moses. You know, when you stand for something, folks, something that's right, somebody's going to be mad at you. Right? Someone's going to get mad at you and you stand for what's right. It's no problem to them that love the Lord and love the book when you get rebuked from God and you get something from the Word of God that... nothing shall offend them, right? Psalm says there, that book's not right. When you're not right, then it's a trouble. You ever have to get right sometimes? And the Lord just starts dealing with you and speaks to you the word and stuff like that, and he can take your heart and you have to turn, Lord, I know I need to get right. God help me, thank you for the word and speak to him like that, Folks, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And folks, there are some tough and hard passages in there in the book, to get through, like so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you get through that kind of stuff like that. But we are to live by every word of God. That's for us right there, every word of God. The lost, they're not going to live by it, right? They're not going to love it. And if you don't love it, you either need to get saved or you need to get right. Amen. That's right, right? Christians should love the Word of God. Amen. We're to be more like Christ. We're to bear His image and His likeness. Folks, boy, that's a real question to me. Why do some Christians why do Christians don't look so much like Christ so much? Amen. You wonder on that thing. We're to be more like Him. All right. And I tell you, just complain and gripe and get in there, and it's okay to be different. It's okay, I believe this, to even be critical if you got a right spirit, on some things, right? And if it's constructive. But these folks here, Numbers chapter 21, all they're griping and complaining and all that happens. Now, that's the introduction. Brother Hoffman didn't tell me I had a certain time. But, okay, I got 3 points. They'll be real short, okay? But that's more of the introduction right there, amen. Point number one, look at verse 6. This wanted you to see the works of sin, the work of sin. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Say the work of sin, the work of sin is serpents, right? Those serpents right there. Anybody here like snakes? Get right, man. Now, my boy likes snakes. He liked the gardener snakes and stuff. He'd go out there and look for them and stuff. Oh, man, I'll tell you, I don't like snakes. That thing here, God sent them, right? You see that there? The Lord sent them. It was of the Lord right there. You know, I believe this. Some folks like to take God out of everything if they can. But God sent them. I don't like snakes, but God sent them. You know what, folks? God still judges sin. Right? He still judges sin. When we complain, we gripe. Can I tell you, you better look out. That attitude right there, it'll kill you. I mean, not physically right then, but spiritually. Your walk with God is going to be, it's going to be hurt on that thing. I got to confess, I was griping today. And I knew I was going to preach this sermon. And I got to confess that. My wife's here because she heard me griping, all right? So, but I got the thing right. It was a rough day, though, amen? But God is still holy, he's still just, and certain laws are still in effect. You say what? Reaping and sowing, right? The wages of sin is death, those things right there. It's best, folks, I mean, to stay in fellowship with God. Plead the blood and get in fellowship with him. And then if things go wrong, and they will, well, then you know things are right with your soul. Amen? God has a good purpose, I believe, for all those things on there. Too many think, you know what, I'm different, I'll get away with my sin. A lot of people think that, I can get away with it. No, you will not. Be sure your sin will find you out, okay? You kids, you know, you think, hey, I'm going to get away with this. I did it once, nothing happened. Right? I can get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. We're not going to get away with it, folks. This adults and stuff like that. You say, well, I'm not getting hammered right now. But listen, you don't see your own spiritual condition. Well, that's you get that sin going on there, then it's going to stop the fellowship with the Lord, right? You're hurting yourself in there. You're getting defiled and all kinds of stuff. And the serpents are going to bite you, man. They'll bite you. You see that verse 6 right there? Man, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Oh, this, it sure looks good. It feels good. It's got to be okay. And you keep on doing that thing, and all of a sudden, bap, that serpent just bites you. Right? And then, you know, this thing here, this bite in Numbers 20, I bet you it hurt, man. I bet you those things hurt. I took a look. You look at some of them serpents they got, those snakes. They look. Man, I wouldn't even want to get 10 feet next to some of those things. You know, the ones with the horns and stuff like that. They bit them and it killed them, man. And folks, if they would die if they didn't look at the serpent, the brazen serpent, right? Just pray more and more God open our eyes to sin, right? And how sin is and see it like God sees it. They complained. They just complained. You know what the Lord said? You know what? I'm going to shut them up. I'm going to shut them up there. And you know what he did? He sent the serpents in there. Here they come, right? Sin brings judgment. The wages of sin is death. If you're lost, and I don't know everyone in here and stuff, like I'm going to tell you, if you know what, if you're lost, you're not reconciled to God, that stuff will bring you to hell. It'll take you to hell. Hell is literal. It's a literal fire. And Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven, right? And the fires of hell are not quenched. And if you die in your sins, you've never been born again, you will burn in hell. And I'm sure glad I got saved and trusted Jesus Christ so I don't have to go to hell. Amen. That's a work of sin. That work of sin brought in there. See, the serpents came. The Lord brought them serpents in there. Now, how about the work of the Savior? Look at verse 8. There's a work of the Savior here. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. All right, here's the work of the Savior. The Lord said to Moses, now you got to get this thing here. you see, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. He told Moses exactly what to do. Moses didn't get together with all the elders and all the leaders. He didn't have to get everybody together there and get some counsel and stuff like that and figure all this stuff out. This came from God. So this is God's plan. This is the way God wanted. God's plan, you know what, is not like our plan. Our plan would be is to get rid of the serpents. But did God say get rid of the serpents? Did he get rid of them? God's plan was not to take away the serpents. And that's kind of strange. Yeah, God's different. You know, like that thing right there. Why doesn't God just take sin out? Why didn't God just do away with sin and stuff like that? Well, can I tell you something? He's not ready yet to take sin out of the world. What he'll do, though, thank God, you know what he'll do? He will save you from its power, and he'll save you from the end effect of sin. That's what God will do now. Not his other, you know, that's his plan there. He does it when you accept him and believe on him. And you believe on his plan. You go his way. You say, what was his way? To make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. You say what? Lift it up. Right? It'd be lifted up, right? You say, well, what must I do to work the work of God? Hey, according to this right here, it's just look and live. Now that's a good message, ain't it? Look and live. Amen. That's foolishness to many people today. You just tell them look and live. You say, well, just trust a dead man? I'm gonna trust this dead Jew who hung on the cross to save me? I'm gonna trust a snake on a pole? Right? And I'm gonna be healed of this stuff? Folks, it's not strange to God because that's his plan. Right? And people don't want his way, and they don't want his plan and stuff like that. But you know what? His way works. Hallelujah, man. Praise God. God's ways worked, right? Christ had to become a man. He had to die in our place. He had to be put on a cross. And he was our substitute. He's our atonement. He was God and man. He was sinless, folks, so he could be the payment for us. And thank God. And he was born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life on this earth. His life was our substitute, right? That's my substitute, right? That's God's plan. And you know what? If the devil tries to claim me or anything like that, the Lord just looks down there. You know what he sees? He says, well, washed in the blood. That's my plan right there. And the sins are paid for, right? You can't try me twice. Amen. You can't get tried twice there. Amen. Salvation is that simple. Verse 8, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Shall live. That's way back there in Numbers chapter 21. You know what he didn't do? He didn't make a pole and prop it up by the Ten Commandments. Are you trying to get to heaven by the Ten Commandments? Well, it's not there. Right? He didn't say, you know, oh, look over here. Look at this thing right here and then do all these things. He just said, look. Look at it, right? I mean, that religion will tell you, you know, Christ and works, right? Religions, they'll tell you that. He didn't take the pole and he didn't beat the people over the head and say, you know what, you must share his pain. You know, you're going to have to suffer like Christ and feel how Christ, he didn't do that to them. He didn't take it over there and beat them out so they could feel the pain. No, what he said is hold it up and look. And as soon as they looked, if they looked on that pole, they got life. That's the gospel. See that gospel in there right there? It's simple, but man's got his own way. And times pride and stuff like that will stop him from just believing. I'm not going to look at that if there's nothing I can do. And that's really what they're saying, right? Many times that's what they say. The devil blinds their minds, amen? And I'll tell you what, that they believe not, and God, of course, has got to show them. You know, the truth. The Holy Spirit's got to convict them in their need of a Savior. And something else to notice, you know, this plan here is a singular plan. You look through this thing here, it's something singular. He didn't take a pig or a goat and put it on the pole too. No, just one thing. It was a brazen serpent, right? And he did it on one pole. You say, well, what's that? 1 Timothy 2:4, one God. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He didn't have two ways. There's just one, right? So you and I have nothing to add or to put on that cross. You can't anything. You can't take anything away. What he did on that cross, he finished it, right? Folks, it's not Christ and Mary. It's not Christ and Buddha. It's not Christ and Joseph Smith. It's one. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on that. That's the work of the Savior. Now, there's one last thing here I'll just point out here. It'll be a help to you. The work of the saint. The work of the saint. Look at verse 8, Numbers 21, 8. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, the Lord said here, Jesus, set it on a pole. You know, if they did not set that pole up and lift that pole up, everyone in the camp wouldn't be able to see it. They wouldn't be able to see it, right? He had to be lifted up. He had to be lifted up. That was the thing there. That's the direction. They had to do that. If they would have just took that pole and laid it down, or if they would have just leaned it against the tabernacle, it wouldn't do. It wasn't going to do it. They hide it. It ain't going to do any good if they was to hide it, would it? Nobody'd be able to see that thing. And I know this, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all, didn't he? He did it all. His work and what he did, he finished that thing right there. But can I tell you something? If you're saved, you got a work to do, Christian. You got something to do. You see it right there? You say what? Hey, hold the pole up. Tell others so that they can see it, right? Tell the world the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt. Tell the world, look and live. That's all you got to do. Right? That's what he says in the thing right there. Just look and live. Some Christians, can I tell you, you know the thing, some Christians, you know, man, they look at the lost and they say, well, they shouldn't have got themselves in such a mess, deserves them right. Do you ever have that attitude? They deserve what they got. Yeah, that guy's in prison, he's a mean, you know, and he did this and he just deserves him right. I tell you what, shouldn't have done those things, but can I tell you what? You're not always so good yourself, are you? God have mercy on you. I know he had mercy on me. Amen. And I know they're wicked. But can I tell you something? So am I. That thing right there. So people around you, and you just think of this, that people around us, folks, wherever it may be, the store, you know, the neighbors, you know, the work, things like that, you know what? They're blind and they're bitten by sin. They got bitten by sin. And that's why they do what they do. And they're going to die. And when they die, they're going to be lost forever. Right? We need to warn them. We need to tell them. We need to say what? The pole, man, lift up the pole. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Lifting up Christ. All right? That's saying, some think, you know what? Religion's going to save them. You know, all kinds of things. You know what? They need somebody to tell them, no, religion's not going to save you. That's not how I got, you know, I didn't get saved by trusting religion. Some folks don't even care. Doesn't matter. We are ambassadors for Christ. And he said there, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, be ye reconciled to God. That's what we preach. You can be reconciled to God. You can be made right with God. Now you and I know that you can't force anybody to get saved. You present the truth, right? You present the word. And folks, they make their own decision. That's all you can do. And you pray for them. You give them the word. They make their own decision. If you've never been saved, you must make your own decision. Let me ask you tonight, will you trust him? Will you just simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Look and live. Quit messing with the religions. Quit messing with the works. And all other bunch of kind of stuff. Now, there's once, a little boy, he had a watch. This little boy, he liked to wear this watch. It's his favorite watch. He'd wear it wherever he went to. And he liked to show it off to people and stuff like that. Well, one time he's in a store. And he's in this store and he's looking at his watch, messing with his watch, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And a man was looking at him, you know, messing with his watch. And he came up to that little boy and he said, young man, he says, does that watch tell time? And that little boy just looked at him and said, no, sir, you have to look at it. Folks, you got to look at it, right? You got to make it personal, right? This thing's got to be personal. The gospel in the text, you see it there in Numbers chapter 21. He died for you personally. He rose again the third day. Amen. You must come to him by faith and trust his son. You tell folks, you know what? There is no sin worth going to hell over. Doesn't matter your pride, your vanity, or whatever, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin. If you're saved, can I just tell you tonight, I'm trying to do that, most of you, I believe, you know, probably saved there. You got to hold him up. Hold him up. That's the thing. Lift up Christ. Lift him up by your words. Lift him up by your life, right? By your love for him. You're talking about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, can people see him? That's, well, a lot of it has to do with the way you live. Right? And what you say and how you're living for the Lord. Amen? But lift him up. That's what God wants us to do. That's the message, okay? We'll have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for these folks and their attention and Lord being gracious and listening. I pray might have been a blessing to them tonight. Lord, get something from you from these pictures and the types you got in the Old Testament for us. Lord, thank you so much for giving us this book. And Lord, help us to lift up Christ. Help us in our lives, Lord, just tell folks, look and live. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless it, bless your word. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, turn it over to whoever. You're dismissed. I don't know how you do it. Amen.